Bless you. All right. The title that I have just for what I'm going to share is called The Realization of the Divine Expectation. And I'd just like to touch on that just for a little bit. You all can make out my makeshift map. It's not to scale by any means. And you can kind of figure out the words. That's the Great Sea over there, the Mediterranean. This is Babylon over here. This is Ur. This is Haran. This is the land of promise. And then there's Egypt. And then there's all this other stuff. But I started a study about a year or more ago on the term mercy. And to my surprise, I ended up with the journey of Abram to Abraham and so on. And in this, I've found that no man, none of us, have anything to glory in apart from the Lord Himself. Starting with Abram, in Acts chapter 7, verses like 1 through 4, Stephen begins declaring, he goes, men, brethren, fathers, he says, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. Basically, that's where the Chaldees. But he starts with purpose. You know, let me just go ahead and turn there. He starts with purpose. This is Stephen. Stephen wasn't one of the quote, unquote, apostles. He just had a willing heart. To be brought in understanding where the Lord desires that we would all come. In Acts chapter 7, and did you hear how I say that? That he had a willing heart that he could be brought in understanding. And see, there's a great difference between reality and then the understanding of that reality. At the moment of new birth, there is such a tremendous change. It is the change of the ages has happened in the soul. And just like with Abram, I'll read it right here. Then the high priest said, the high priest, are these things so? And this is Stephen. Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. Had the God of glory not appeared, Abram would have continued, as always, apart from God. Because God had not appeared. God was not present. Now, I've been looking at this just, you know, in type of a soul, of a heart. Here's one, Ur of the Chaldees, before they are born again. God isn't present. And yet, God created the soul for this one purpose. And we're going to read it here in a second. He created the soul for the appearing of His Son in that soul. Christ must appear where He was not before. After He is present, He continues to appear. But now I think it was mentioned last night, or one of the nights, by Brother Lumen, but now it is the light of life, the light. Now it is the understanding of the one who is present. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. To me, that's like new birth. He appeared. See, and at the moment of new birth, I was talking to Joseph about this last night. It's great. In the book of John, everything is a miracle of God. Everything, He initiates everything. As I stated, had the God of glory not appeared unto Abram, he would have continued in Ur. He would have never come to the purpose for which God originally created his soul. And we're going to get to that. But see, it's not only the purpose for Abraham or the apostles. No, it is the purpose for the soul in general. Each one of us who are a soul, God created our soul for one purpose and one purpose only. He has one purpose. There's one head, one body, one son. There's one purpose. And all this is wrapped up in his one son. And we're going to see that here in just a second. So, I love this too. And the Lord is like this. And he's always like this when we're born again. And even at that very moment of new birth. At the moment of new birth, as I stated in John. The very first miracle that Jesus did, do you all know? He changed the water to wine. Something completely impossible in the natural. No man can do this. It is impossible with man. But with God, all things are possible. He changed the water to wine. But see, before he did that, he said, fill the pots to the full. Right? Fill them up! Because they will be filled with life now. The wine, the blood, this is my blood. My life. The life is in the blood. That happens at the moment of new birth. And an extraordinary miracle is what it is. Something that God and only God can do. At the moment of new birth, there is the change of the ages that happens to our soul. And that change is that now Christ is present. Christ, the Son of the living God, is now present. But he's not present in like some area of our soul. No. And Raven hit on it. No, he's not present in some area. Because then the very next thing that Jesus does when you're reading the Gospel of John is that he goes in to the temple and drives out everything that is not him. And he alone remains. And that is what happens the moment of new birth. He alone remains. There is a magnificent change. And that change that happens at new birth is that it is not I, but Christ who's present. Not this, not that. Christ who's present. And he is present filling his temple. He is present filling his land. But like Abram, Abram took a journey, right? A physical journey. Because it was a testimony of... Excuse me. I need this. It was a testimony of a reality that would come in the person of Christ. He took a physical journey. He had to literally go from one place to another. See, we don't have to make a physical journey. The moment we are born again, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Quicker than that. An immediate change. An immediate change. But the thing like with Abram, we don't know the change that has taken place. And I've mentioned this several times before. In Ur, it was a highly advanced civilization where Abram grew up, where he was schooled, and they worshipped a lot of gods there. One of the main gods was the moon god. A light that is no light at all. A light that is only there in darkness. That's this light right here. What I can understand with my natural brain. And even right now, if you're understanding any of the words that I'm saying, they're being understood with your natural brain. And the only hope that I have and that you have is that the Spirit of the Lord would take those words, use them to prepare the ground of our heart, the ground of our soul, to come unto his expected end. Unto his. It's not ours. It's not ours. No. We have our expected end. We have our expectations of the Lord. We do. We do. All of us do. All of us do. We shouldn't try to fool ourselves or fool God. We should just admit it. Yes, I have expectations. You have expectations. God has an expected end as well. He does. Everything he does, everything that is of God, is designed to bring unto his expected end. It is designed. He does this. It has one purpose. So, Abram, I guess you could say in type, he's born again. And, you know, when we're first born again, the change of the ages has taken place. The God of glory is filling his land. I think it's in Jeremiah. There's a question going on, and the Lord says, I fill heaven and earth. And then the verse that Raven quoted, it's the heavenly declaration out of Isaiah. It's in Isaiah chapter 6. You know, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the seraphims flew and declared one to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. That's the heavenly declaration. That's reality. Whether we know it or not. Whether we experience or not. Whether we realize it or not. And that's the change that I'm talking about. There's been a major change. The change of the ages happens at new birth. The God of glory fills his land, the soul. Because we all know that the land of Canaan was the promised land, the land of promise. But it was the promise to Abram and his seed, which is Christ. And God creates the land for one purpose, to give it unto his son, his seed. So he may dwell there. And that's our soul. At the moment of new birth, it is filled with his glory. But see, we don't know that. And I think it was Brother Lumen. There's one thing to believe what the scriptures are saying. Yes, I know Jesus is in me. Yes, I know I've been translated. I know that. And see, I can say that because I said that. And I knew that. But see, the Holy Spirit, God's not satisfied with what we know about the truth. He's not satisfied with this. He's not satisfied with that. He's not satisfied with being able to present something. He's not satisfied with the teaching or the message. He's not satisfied with that. He's satisfied with his son. And see, when we begin to settle for something less and we are satisfied with that, the Spirit of the Lord doesn't change. And we're going to see that in just a second. Here's verse 3. Or I'll have to go back. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, here's the calling, immediately from the moment of new birth. Whether you realize it or not, it's there. It's there of God. And I remember at the moment of new birth, there were those around me at the time, and they were saying, it's all about Jesus. I was like, what do I do now? What do I do now? Well, it's all about Jesus. Yes, it is. It is. But then what changed? What changed at that moment from people telling me it's all about Jesus to then them telling me, okay, now you need to do this, you need to stop doing this, and now you need to do this over here and be more like Jesus. What changed? What changed is that man's expectation came into view. This happens in Haran. Because what governs Ur is exactly what governs Haran. They worshipped the moon god as well. Though reality had come to Abram because Christ, the glory of God, had appeared unto Abram, he was completely ignorant of it. Now I use that as a dash swear. It's like ignorance. See, this is apart from Christ. This is death. That's what the soul is before new birth. It's death. It is separated from God. But see, at the moment of new birth, Christ is present, whether we realize it or not. He's there. He is there, filling the land. And see, it doesn't. Our concept doesn't change. What we understand doesn't change. What God knows remains. Our thoughts will not change him. He's settled and set. He's satisfied. We're not going to change him. Don't you love that? I mean, I don't know if you're getting this. I love that. I love that. My ignorance will not change reality. Don't you love that? I love that. I love that. Everything I think that is contrary will not change reality. That Christ himself is present, filling my soul. So here's the call. Here's the call to every soul. Here's the call that God presents to every soul that he creates. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Not, but. Get thee out and come. And as I stated, Abram made a physical journey. Ours is simply this. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Because we all know that when Abram finally came to the land, the Lord appeared. The Lord showed himself. All right, I'll go ahead and say it. The land that God calls us to see, the land that God called Abram to see, is the land that is filled with his glory. Listen to the Apostle Paul. But when it pleased God, called me by his grace, separated me from my mother's womb, called me, there it is, called me by his grace, something that I didn't deserve, something that I couldn't do, that it was impossible of man, called me to reveal his son, where? In me, unto a land that I will show thee. And the land that he shows is the land that is filled with his glory. We just get so caught up with the land and miss the one who's present in the midst. And see, as I stated before, it is one, every step we take in the Lord, it is a step of the tender mercy and her abounding grace of God. No man can boast in anything. No man can boast in that they've seen the Lord. No man. The most a person would do is, woe is me. Woe is me. For I've seen the Lord. And praise God. Right? Back to Abram. He came out. But see, man can only go as far as man will go. And that is called Haran. He can't go any further than the natural mind. My studies, my searches can only go as far as they can go. And then guess what? There's what I would call the brick wall. Well, Lord, I've heard. I've seen, and as I've stated this, we can deceive ourselves, but we can't deceive the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't change. The Holy Spirit has one ministry. It's a beautiful ministry. A beautiful ministry. All he does is gather the attention, the full attention of our heart, and he places it upon one man, and that's Christ. You can see this at the baptism of Jesus with John the Baptist. John the Baptist representing the law and the prophets, the testimony. And then the Holy Spirit, something from above, descending. But how did he know it was from above? Because the attention was, whoa. The attention of the heart was drawn. And the Holy Spirit, what he does, he descends and he remains upon one man. When the heart turns unto the Lord, the veil is removed. And then you hear the heavens open and God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He reveals his Son. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is the purpose for which our souls exist. Abram got as far as Haran. He got as far as man can go. And see, in Haran, you can declare the purpose of God. You can understand the purpose of God, having not yet seen him. And see, that's it. It's not so much there's a purpose. The purpose is him. It's not so much there's a teaching. The teaching is him. There's not so much that there's a term. The term ultimately must come to him. Because all these terms, once again, are designed of God for one purpose, that the ground of our heart would be prepared to behold Him who is present in the land, Him who is filling the land. That's it. That's it. So here you have Abram. Gets as far as he can go. Then it picks up again with Genesis. Because remember, Stephen began while he's in Ur. But then it picks up again in Genesis. I think it's Genesis chapter 12. And this is while Abram is in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. See, Abram came short. He settled for less. He settled for something less. And each one of us, I'm the one saying this, and when I say this, I represent no anything. I say it from my heart. Each one of us settles for less. We do. By nature, we settle for less. And if you think otherwise, the Lord will have to deal with your heart. Example, Adam and Eve in the garden. Here's life. Everything the Lord intended for them. And they settled for less. But then here's the Lord in His tender mercy and ever-abounding grace. See, He knows that we always settle for less. He knows that we choose, we choose evil and we call it good. He knows that. He knows that. That's why He is faithful. We don't make Him faithful. We discover His faithfulness. He remains faithful to His Son. We are the ones who are not faithful. Where can any man boast? Only in the Lord. So Abram settles for less. He goes as far as man can go. And had the Lord not spoken, he would have remained in Haran. See, and here's the thing. Even when hearing this word, and I tell this to several, when I'm sharing, I try to make this really known. And please listen to these words. Hearing the gospel of God, the eternal gospel of God, declared, if we do not allow the Spirit of the Lord to prepare the ground of our heart to come to the expectation that is built into the declaring of the gospel, what I mean by that, if we do not allow the Spirit of the Lord to prepare the ground of our hearts to turn to see the one who fills, then, listen to this, with a very sad, without doubt, what it will become unto us. See, we do not change reality because we do not change Christ. He remains the same, yesterday, today, forever. But what it will become to us is nothing more than a deeper life teaching. And a deeper life teaching isn't the expected end. Right? That's what he said in Jeremiah. I will give you a hope. I will give you an expected end. Something to look forward to. Unto a land I will show thee. I think it's in Hebrews. It also said that. So Abraham, he went out. And I love this. Not knowing. The thing with us is that we go knowing. And our knowing is what God would call our concepts and idols and vain imaginations. That's our knowing. So you can process everything that's being shared, and that's your knowing. It's my knowing. God's knowing is His Son. The Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father. That is the knowing of God. So here's the faithfulness of the Lord. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Aren't you glad that nothing changed with God? Abram comes short, and the Lord declares the same that he declared from the beginning. And see, the Lord is the only one who will declare this. God is the only one who will declare this. Man will not declare this. Man will not. He cannot. The Lord declares this. So if our hearts hear it, and if our hearts hear it again, it's the Spirit of the Lord. So who can boast? There's no boast but in the Lord. And I love it with the Apostle Paul. He even said this, you know, God forbid that I glory in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby, all right, here he's declaring reality, whereby the world is crucified unto me. And now he's about to declare the reality that he has seen in the face of Jesus Christ, and whereby I now am crucified unto the world. See, at the moment of new birth, the world is crucified unto you, unto every single born-again believer. It's a done deal. Why? Because it's not there anymore. It's called a new creation in Christ Jesus. Remember Noah, the flood? The Euphrates, the flood. It's the same. That's no longer there. But it continues to govern because we've not seen the one who's present. And I've said this several times. Ignorance is not a sin. It's not. It's not. To confess you're ignorant, it's not a sin. The wisest man on earth, Solomon, confessed it to the Lord. I'm but a child, and I know not. It's not a sin to confess your ignorance to the Lord. And see, I'd say about, it's wild, but I'd say about the majority of our walk with the Lord is one of the Holy Spirit preparing the ground of our heart where we can actually confess that. I don't know, Lord. I've heard, like Job, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but we will not confess, but I've not seen you yet. We're more prone to confess, and I say that we, because I've experienced this. I'll just use myself then. I'm more prone to confess. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I've studied it out in the scripture. I even have my multicolored notes. Look at the wonderful diagrams I've drawn. And I've seen you, Lord. But see, I can deceive myself. I can't fool the Lord. He doesn't care about what I know. He doesn't care. What he cares about is whether my heart will come to his expected end. And did you hear the way I said it? Whether my heart will come. Because the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit desires to bring our heart in understanding where he has brought already our soul in reality. That happened at the moment of new birth. We're not going anywhere. Abram had to make a physical journey from one location to another location. The change came at new birth. We are not going anywhere. We're just discovering the one who is present in the land, just like Abram. All his walk was a walk of discovery. Discovering the one who is present in the land. But see, Abram didn't know that. All he knew was that God had called him, the above invitation, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that God had called him to see a land, unto a land I will show thee. That's all he knew. Now, he may have had his concepts of what he would see when he arrived, but if you were honest, you would say, well, I really don't know what I'm going to see. I don't know what I'm going to find. I don't know what will be the results of when I find it. And I don't know where it is, what it is. I don't know. My God, I must be ignorant. I guess I have to trust in you. Because you know. So in the tender mercy, never bounding grace of the Lord speaks. The voice is heard. But you see, the Lord appears at the moment of new birth. He doesn't appear in Haran. The voice is heard in Haran. He appears at the moment of new birth, and the only other time he appears is in the land with Abram. And I mean concerning the story that I've been reading with Abram. And for me, it's not so much a story. For me, it's not so much a message. For me, it's not so much a teaching. As I've stated, I've been here for about a year or more. And I know that all this has to, must serve the purpose of the Lord. It must. It must be there so that the Holy Spirit can take it and prepare the ground of my heart, the ground of my soul, and that I also, like Abram, may turn to see the one who's present. And that will always be the issue. And it's not so much God giving an answer for this situation or an answer for that situation. No, 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 no. He declares his purpose in every situation. Regardless. See, we're the ones who have the situations or whatever. I mean, think about it. Think about the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. Right, there they are grumbling, murmuring, complaining. You know, they've had enough. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're going to find when they get there. All they know is that God sent this Moses guy to take us there. And so then they thirst. And what does God do? He reveals his son. In every situation, he reveals his son. But what? Is he giving, now they need this. No, no, no. No. He doesn't change. He does not change. Whatever we're going through or whatever like that. He doesn't change. He just, hey, Abram, you settled for something less. But that's not my heart. Come into a land that I will show you. He doesn't have an answer per se. He just declares the same. Come into a land that I will show thee. And the land that he shows is the land that is filled with his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Once again, with the baptism of John, or excuse me, the baptism of Jesus, John baptizing him, John said this. He said this to Israel. I come baptizing with water because there is one in the midst whom you do not know, but that he may be made manifest. Therefore am I come. See, and John was sent of God, so it really wasn't, and even Jesus questioned this, okay, was the baptism of John, was it of man or was it of God? It was of God. Because all that it served was a purpose that the one in the midst, Christ himself, would be made manifest. That the one who was present would be made manifest. That's it. Very simple. It doesn't change, and I love that. And I used to, or maybe I still do, I say, the Lord has to make it real simple for me. Because I make things really complex. You know, I'm prone to that. Multiplicity, many gods, many concepts, multiply, complexity. Lord, it's real simple with the Lord, his son. Yeah, but what about this teaching about Jesus? And what about this one? Hey, it's either I am or it's something of you, your concept. And see, that's the thing. We've got all these concepts. We just don't know it, or we won't confess it. And a lot of times we don't know it until the Lord is preparing the ground of our heart. And it's like, oh my God. Well, I thought the land was Christ. I said that. The first time the Lord started just showing that, and that's just preparing the ground of my heart. I hadn't seen the Lord when he started doing that. No, that was just preparing the ground of my heart. But see, in him there is no darkness. Period. All these other things, Jebusites, Canaanites, concepts, idols, high places. Even as the Apostle Paul said, he said, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. No, but they're mighty to the casting down, the pulling down. Concepts, imaginations, our thoughts. Even Paul said it. I thought within myself to waste the church. Well, I'm paraphrasing. He says something like that. I thought I was serving the Lord. I thought I was serving Jehovah, Yahweh. I thought comes from my mind. My mind is no different than the mind of man, period. Because there is the mind of man, and then there is the mind of God, which is Christ. One or the other. So, sorry, I'm just looking here. I might as well maybe look at my notes just a little bit. There's so many good. It's not going to happen. These have to serve that one purpose. They have to. They're just if it's of God, it has to serve that one purpose. You find the same purpose being declared with the Apostle Paul, Saul at the time, when he's recounting to King Agrippa everything that happened. It's in Acts chapter 26, it's verse 16. And I searched this verse out. I looked at it with interlinears. I studied each term. And I finally found a translation that said it grammatically correct what I had found before with interlinears and studying out each term. And that was not seeing the Lord. No. That was just something there so that my heart would be prepared. The ground of my heart to be prepared to bear an appearing of the Lord. All right. So in Acts chapter 26, verse 16, this is the King James Version. I love this. I love this. I'll start with I can read the whole chapter, but you can read it later. Verse 11. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even under strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, listen to this, at midday, O king. That is high noon. That is the point where the sun, the natural light, is in its strength, governing in his strength. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, not of the earth, not of the natural realm. Remember, anytime you see out from heaven, above, that's Christ. That's something of God. That's God doing it. That's not man doing it. Remember, holy, holy, holy. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and here's the heavenly declaration. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory, whether the earth knows it or not, whether the soul knows it or not. He says, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, no man showed glory. And I love that. See, that's what happens. At the moment when the Father, in His tender mercy and ever-bounding grace, reveals His Son, guess what? Our concept falls as dead. You'll see it time and time again. That's what Isaiah said. Woe is me. I'm undone. A man of unclean lips. Job, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, and now my eye sees you face to face, and I abhor myself. John on the Isle of Patmos. And I heard a voice that spake to me. And when I turned to see the voice, a beautiful description of Christ, That's all. He's just declaring Christ right there. Beautiful description. And then he says this towards the end. And when I saw him. See, it's not about seeing, let me show you this. Let me show you this testimony of Jesus. Let me show you this other of Jesus. We talked about the rod making the water sweet. That's Jesus. No. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And then he lays his right hand upon me and declares, I am the living one. There is reality realized in the face of Jesus Christ. There is the change that came at new birth, the reality that came at new birth, now being realized, the word realized, now being experienced, now being known in the heart. I am he that liveth. And see, when the Father reveals the Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Son begins to declare, I am the living one. I am the bread of life. I am. He is the I am. I am. And the appearing of the I am of the Lord is the heavenly call, the heavenly vocation. You can search it out. There's several verses I'm not even going to touch on. But it's there. It's there, I hope. Even when Paul is praying for churches. You know, but I pray for you, the hope of his calling, the hope of his calling, the hope. Look at, you can check out the word. Hope is expectation. The expectation of his calling, the very purpose for which he called you in the first place. His expected end. An expected end. A hope. An expected end. And I love this. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Guess what? His heart was being prepared beforehand. And Saul, like all of us, were resisting. Why? Because we love our concept of God. We love it. I love it. I searched it out, man. I saw it in the Scripture. The Scripture's true. It's designed. Well, the Scripture is a testimony of Christ, but more than a testimony, it is designed. That very testimony, the eternal testimony, which is the most perfect testimony you will ever find, because yes, outside the natural creation does testify of Christ, but this is the perfect testimony right here. The perfect testimony. The light. What was the psalm? That word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path that brings me, that is designed of God to bring me, to bring my heart. See? Unto the greater light, unto the Son, unto the person himself. And just right here, just like Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And see, I can hold on, and I've you know, there's either, how's I gonna say it? The more we go on, the more we begin to learn to hold on loosely to what we know. I mean, you will, I will, I do. Because, see, here's the deal: when the Lord is preparing our heart, he's not going to show us something different. He's not going to declare something different. He will always declare the same. He will declare his Son. Unto a land I will show thee. And just like the Apostle Paul defined it, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace. For what purpose, Paul? To reveal his Son in me. And see, Paul was a preacher, like all of us, whether we realize it or not. We are preachers. Yeah. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Whether we have the little title or not, whether we wear the hat or not, you know, everybody declares what they're beholding. Even before we were born again, man, I declared a lot of stuff. It just wasn't Jesus. God didn't care. God declares his son. He declares one. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I'm so faithful that the Holy Spirit, regardless of us holding on to what we believe is the truth, because what we believe is the truth is not the person. And what I mean by that is what I have learned here, what the Lord has been showing in this scripture of Christ himself, is not the truth. The truth is the one that my heart is to turn and behold. The testimony, the perfect testimony of God, is designed to prepare the ground of my heart to turn unto the one who is present. In Genesis, God brings a whole entire creation unto one man, Adam, who is a type of Christ. Can you see it? Everything, that's what God is doing, bringing everything unto one man, unto his son. He doesn't care about anything less. And I love this, verse 15. See, even Saul, the great Hebrew of Hebrews, the Pharisee, look, verse 15. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" I guess I'm ignorant. Oh, no. I'm not ignorant of the traditions of my fathers. No. I'm not ignorant of the scripture. He was a Pharisee. He knew Hebrew. He knew Greek. Guess what? I don't know either language. I have to use these things called lexicons and concordances and dictionaries. I don't even know that. That was his native tongue. He knew the scriptures. He was raised at the feet of Gamaliel. He sat at the feet of the greatest teacher of the Jews of the time. He knew. He knew the scripture. He knew the scripture better than all of us here combined. Probably the whole world. I don't know. And yet he didn't know the one whom the scripture was designed to bring him to. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Continues preparing the ground of our heart. And when we say, "I've got it," guess what? I use this a lot. "I've got it, Lord. I see you." What is this? This is a big halt. This is a big stop sign to the Holy Spirit. Say, "No, I've got it. I've seen the Lord. I know him. I see him in the scriptures. Hey, guess what? I can share him too. I share him with others." God doesn't care. He doesn't. Just last week, the most sobering thing that the Lord has ever presented to my heart, he presented again. And I'm so thankful for it. Because, I mean, this is going to sound funny, but before I was born again, I knew something was going on, and I knew it wasn't man, because I'd already done the religious thing several times, but I knew something was different. Before I got born again, I made a deal with God. Like I could make a deal with God Almighty, who created me and everything else. But my deal was this. I said, "God, you can do whatever you want." And these were the concepts, my thoughts. "I'll give you my life. You can take my life, do whatever you want. Just don't make me a religious person that I see on the TV or that I've seen when I've gone to certain meetings. I don't want that. That's not what I want. If you're real, you have to be something more real than that. You have to be something greater than that." And see, that wasn't my prayer. Now I begin to see and understand that was not my prayer. God did not want me settling for something less. Because he did not create the soul for something less. He created the soul for the appearing of his son. So then, you must be born again. But how are you born again? Christ must appear where he was not before. He must appear in the soul. Well, does it end there? No. No. Now, it is thy seeing me. And thy seeing me hereafter. Just like the journey of Abram. I love this. Jesus talks about Abram. He says, in John chapter 8 to the Jews, and he said, listen to this, the whole context is the Jews who believed in him. These weren't the Jews who were out to get him. Well, not yet. But they were the Jews who believed in him. He said, if your father were Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. And see, we're so carnally minded that we see things like planting churches, preaching, teaching, ministry, healing. But he talks about the works of Abram. Well, if you read the story of Abram, he didn't do anything exciting. I mean, not like you compare it to the book of Acts, which he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. He was just a willing vessel, allowing the Lord to continually prepare the ground of his heart for the appearing of his son. That was it. That was it. If you look at the whole life of Abram, what did he do? He just walked around the land and the Lord appeared. What? Walked around the... That's it. That's all there is. And I love it. I love it. With the beginning of the purpose of a nation, of a called out ones, the Lord makes it really clear. This is your purpose. Walk the length, the breadth, the height. And it's just not walking it. It's beholding, discovering the one who is present. The Apostle Paul later defines it. Oh, the riches of Christ. The unsearchable, what natural mind cannot find. It cannot attain to. The natural mind cannot. No, the natural mind cannot. Let's be revealed of God. Because see, if the natural mind could, I would boast in it then. You would boast in it. The Apostle Paul would boast in it. But his boast was in the Lord, because he saw the Lord. He couldn't even glory in the things that he did. You know, a lot of people, I mean, when I was first born again, I didn't even know who's this Apostle Paul guy. But everybody, oh, the Apostle Paul. You know, do stuff like that. Sorry, I make fun of that because I used to do that too after I figured it out. After I figured it out. See, that's the thing. We figure out things and then we hold on to what we figure. And God doesn't care about those things. He doesn't care about what we figure. He doesn't care about the little calculator that we keep up here between our ears. He doesn't care. Because that's not his purpose. Unto a land I will show thee. And I said, who art thou, Lord? I recognize you're greater. I just don't know who you are. And he said, I am. That's it. As I stated before, one of the things just this past week, last week, the Lord presented to my heart yet once again, is a very sobering question that he presents to my heart. He asks me a question, very sobering. And it's very simple. I mean, there's nothing complex about it. He simply just asked this, what do you want? See, I don't know if you've ever heard that from the Lord. I don't know. But he's asked me that. I can probably count on one hand maybe three times maybe. He asks, what do you want? And the sobering part about this question is that I know, without doubt, he would give me anything I want. Anything. Anything my heart would desire, he would give it to me. Anything. That's a scary... Not scary. That is a very sobering place to be in. And I have to confess, Lord, I know I don't even know what I mean when I say this, but I want to know your son. Abram came out not knowing. I want to know your son. And I know that the only way I will know him is if you reveal him. The only way you will reveal him is whether my heart turns to see him or not. The only way my heart will turn to see him is if, by your Spirit, you prepare the ground of my heart to have a desire to see him. Because if I ask for anything less, listen to me, if I ask for anything less, he would give it to me. But it would not be his expected end. A future, a hope, a future, an expected end, something to look forward to. And we'll read that in just Lord willing in a minute. Acts chapter 26, verse 16, this is Jesus. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee. Not a message, not a teaching. I have appeared unto thee. Then it goes on, and we run the gamut with this thing. To constitute thee a minister and witness. And then I'll finish with James Murdoch's translation of the Sirach Peshitto. But see, as I stated before, whether we're born again or not, we are a minister of what we have witnessed, period. Without doubt. Out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. Whatever the treasure of our heart is, hey, that's what we speak. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this. This is what you will minister, because this is what you will witness. You will witness, an eyewitness. This is what you will be beholding of this. Thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. I call this the hidden source. Right? We get excited about the miracles, signs, and wonders, and all the things that the Apostle Paul did. Or did he do it, actually? And here we have the Apostle Paul. You know what? I labored more abundantly than all the apostles. I did. Look at everything I did. Look at all these epistles. There's more than all the other ones, all the other apostles combined. No, I can't say that. I can't confess that. That's what he would say. And he did. No, not I. Not I. But Christ, who is the grace of God in me. And he didn't say that as a teaching. He didn't say that as a message. He said that in beholding the face of the person, of the reality. And he continues with that same divine expectation. You read it in Philippians. Oh, that I may know him. And see, I know we go on reading all the rest, but just can you just pause right there. Oh, that I may know him. And just leave it there. Not for dot, dot, dot. But just, oh, that I may know him. See, here we want to know for. I want to know Jesus because my carnal mind runs amok. It's true. No. Then my expectation is not to behold the divine one. My expectation, my hope, is that my mind doesn't run amok anymore. So really, I'm using the Son of God for my end. Can you see that? For my end. Well, I don't want to be carnal anymore, Lord. That's my end. That's my end. Well, I don't want to act this way or think these thoughts. That's my end. My expectation. Praise God, it doesn't change him. He keeps, by the Spirit of the Lord, preparing the ground of our heart for his expected end. To give us a future, a hope, an expected end. His divine expectation. Beholding the one who is present. And the Spirit of the Lord will continue preparing the ground of our heart, the ground of our soul, until we can pray his prayer. If any man asks according to his will, he will give it. His will, his prayer, his expected end, his son. And I know the hour has passed, but I just want to read this. It's in John chapter 8. And It's the whole passage with Jesus. But I love this. And I say, this is more in the message to me. I say that so much more. Because the Lord will not let me settle for anything less. When I start, listen, getting a good grip on it. Yeah. By His means, He loosens my grip. And I'm thankful for it. No, I may not be thankful for it at the time. It's like a crying baby. You know, don't jump up my woobie. You know, woobie, that's, you know, it's like your blankie or something. You know, no. But I'm very thankful afterwards. Because what I thought was security was not secure at all. I thought that was the security of my soul. No. Here is my security. I just don't know the one who's present. Therefore, my soul is not secure. It's very simple. All right. John chapter 8, just one verse. And I'll close out with this. See, the Lord doesn't just declare this to us. He doesn't just call us from the very beginning unto an expected end just to call it out. As I stated, what I had for the title of this session is the realization of the divine expectation. Actually coming to it, realizing it. Actually beholding the one who's present. The one, a person, not a teaching once again. Not a message. Not getting excited and settling for less than that. I know, I've seen the thing. The last verse. All right. Verse 56. And once again, this is not a special calling for a few. No, this is a calling for which God created soul. Period. Whether the soul realizes it or not. Whether the soul ever comes to reality or not. And whether the soul ever comes to the realization of that reality. Whether the soul ever comes to the expected end for which it was called or not. Here's what it is. I love this. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. That means he was expecting. He had a desire. His object was to see the day of the Lord. You can read commentaries what it is. He rejoiced in that he would see the Lord. That was in his heart. He had a love for the appearing of the Lord. And in each appearing, that purpose governed his heart more and more. Which he rejoiced to see my day. The expectation was birthed in his heart and it was governing his heart. He rejoiced. He leapt, and it says, to rejoice like one leaping for joy. It's like greater than the Super Bowl. Greater than the World Cup. Yes, greater than that. Because that happens one day and then it's gone and you have to wait another year. No, this is the eternal day. This is the person himself. He rejoiced to see my day. And listen to what the Lord says. And he saw it. And was glad. From the very beginning, declaring the purpose for a whole our father Abraham. The very purpose for calling out a nation with one purpose. Rejoiced. An expected end. An expectation where we can finally, hey, like I said with the ark, when you see it, go for it. And that's what Abram did. He went for it. He came, he went for it. And it was actually the Lord who brought him. But he just didn't hear the Lord. He saw the Lord. He rejoiced to see my day. He loved my appearing and he saw me. And this is the realization of the divine expectation that God sets forth for the soul from beginning to end. That we would not come short, that we would not remain. But see, even in here, he continues, right? Even if we have settled for less, he continues, get out from unto a land I will show you. And that's his faithfulness to his son, not ours. It's his. So I'll just go ahead and end there and just allow the Lord to do what he wants to do. Hey, you can even ask the Lord even right now. And I'll just close with that with prayer. Lord, we're as much like Abraham, probably more than we know. We don't know. We may not know what you want to do. And we may have our concepts of what we believe you want to do, but we do ask, Lord, that you would continue by your Spirit to prepare the ground of our hearts to do what you desire to do for your glory and the glory of your Son. Amen.